Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
It's 12:08. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks. The show, the national anthem, is brought to you by the best dadgum barbecue in the state of South Carolina. It's Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, and you can find it at Founders Park if you are headed to watch Gamecock baseball anytime this weekend, whenever that is. BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com to order your catering. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have their sauces and their secret spice rub delivered to your home. How about that? Well, if you're not very good at making food, you can make it taste better in a hurry. Just have this stuff dropped off, CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com. There's Mike Morgan's brother, Brad.
Older brother.
Older brother.
You don't have to put that out there, Brad.
joining us from, where are you? Are you in the media room?
Hey, yeah, I'm in the media room here in Cleveland.
Oh, beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. The voice of Gamecock women's basketball. They are back in the Final Four. All right, Phil. Brad told us during the break, he's a food guy. Throw these things back up here. Let's get his thoughts on this.
Let's get back to this. I got excited this when you guys were talking about this.
We've got Matt Anderson with us, too, of course.
We'll get Brad, Matt's
how much time do you have, Brad? We don't want to be holding you up now.
It's good. I got till the top of the next hour. So
okay. Oh, we'll get you. Wait all for right. That. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Your thoughts on the championship burger with the cheesy lobster fondue on top of the seafood lobster salad on top of a half-pound LaFreda beef patty.
As long as I had nothing else to do that day, I would definitely dive into it because I know that would just ruin me for the next, 24 hours. It reminds me of when I was a student at USC, there used to be a place where the Vista didn't exist back then, but in what is now the Vista, called the Seaboard Diner, and you could get a thing called the Psycho Burger, and it was a bacon egg cheeseburger with chili on it. You usually got it at 2 a.m. and it looked something like that, but a little bit messier. And it was great at 2 a.m., but the next morning, you were feeling it. So I would definitely dive into that though.
That's probably the best answer that you could give. If I had nothing to do later, I'm in. If you're going to eat that at the ball game, you might want to get to the fifth or sixth inning before you get to it because you might pass out.
Yeah, I need some time to myself after eating something like that.
Matt, are you in on that?
Yeah, man, I'm in on that. I'm just laughing at Brad taking some time to himself. That's great.
That's a me moment burger. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm in on it. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Let's go to the Renegade.
We'll
go Phil.
Straight through. Yeah, we'll do the same order. Now okay, here, this
there's the Renegade. This is in Pittsburgh at PNC. Footlong hot dog, and it's I believe it's Nathan's. So footlong Nathan's hot dog, shredded beef pot roast, caramelized onions, pickle slices, and mini pierogies.
Hmm. Not sure about the pierogies on a hot dog, but yeah, I might have to pass on that or pull the pierogies off. But the rest of it, you know, I'd give it a shot. But again, I might need a moment to myself after that. But yeah, I might have to say no. That wouldn't be my first option there.
Yeah, the pierogies. What do you think, Matt?
There's the pierogies for me. I mean, it looks like a German cuisine to me. Like, I mean, pretty similar to stuff I've had, you know, doing all those German festivals. But I would give it a go. I don't know if I would finish it. I'd at least try it.
Like I said, I just don't think I can. It didn't look good to me. So
it's all about the flavor. It has to have some flavor in the pot roast. I mean, the pickles are going to give a little bit, but
and if you're buying this at a concession stand at an arena, that's what, $40 right there?
Probably.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you got to think this is at least a $30 hot dog.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's got $30 hot dog, $12 beer. I mean, it's not, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
It's a $40 meal. Yeah. That's, I don't know. I don't know that I'm wasting $40 on something I'm not sure of.
No, nah, just
if money, if we're talking money, then yeah, I'm out. But if money's of no objection, then I'll try it. So if it's a sample.
All right, now let's go to the real. Let's go to the Zazzer here. From the Ziz to the Zazz.
It's a showstopper right here.
There's the Blue Burger, the Buffalo Blue Burger in Kansas City. Bacon, blue cheese, buffalo style aioli, lettuce, tomato, but it's the blue bun.
Yeah. Can you, you know, I've had a great bacon blue burger at other places, you know, around South Carolina that I love because it's messy. You can't put it down. And the waffle fries, you know, I'm in on that, but. I'm a little scared about what the blue bun might do to my insides, you know?
I know.
It's going to work its magic, Brad. It is.
It scares me a little bit because it's not natural. The only time I've eaten blue bread, it was, you know, bread that was in my kitchen too long, and I didn't realize there was blue spots on it. So I don't know. back in my bachelor days. So, yeah, the blue bun is going to be – might be a hard pass for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I can't. I don't have it. I just
you got me until the blue bun, though. Like love it all, love it all. But no.
Yeah. All right. I think we're all in agreement on this. This is this has been a good segment. I mean, Brad, Matt is the one.
You eating the Smurf burger?
I don't even like blue tortilla chips, so there's no way I can get past blue bread.
Yeah. And that's naturally occurring blue.
I'm not there, you know. I don't know. Maybe if the bacon was blue. No, I'm just kidding. No chance. All right, Brad, first of all, the news that came out yesterday, for the first time in the history of college basketball, we have a three consecutive time winner of the Naismith Coach of the Year Award, and that is Dawn Staley. What's she saying about that?
It's amazing. She's always going to, you know, put it back on her staff, which, you know, I agree to a big extent because they are a tireless staff. But, you know, she's done so many great jobs in her career here at South Carolina and at Temple. But, you know, this was so interesting just because of the obvious. You know, you graduated all five starters from last year. You lose seven players in all to graduation. And, you know, you still knew you were going to be good because you had a whole bunch of former McDonald's High School All-Americans on your roster. But most of them hadn't started or played that much. And then all of a sudden you come out and you run the table again. And so, yeah, totally deserved. And, you know, she's always going to be humble about that and pass it on to her staff and other things as well. But she needs, you know, I'll definitely give her that pat on the back. In fact, I literally did a couple hours ago when we got to the arena and just said, congrats again, coach, because, you know, I don't care who you are or what your roster is made up of. When you lose as much as they did the previous year and come back and you're in the same spot you were in last year this far, it's an amazing coaching job. And so I'm so proud of her, proud of this team. And it's nice that she gets recognized because it'd be easy to give it to other deserving coaches because there's some South Carolina fatigue at this point, right? You know, we're the ones that maybe people are getting tired of a little bit because they've been here so often, you know, sixth time in the last nine tournaments they've been to the Final Four. So, you know, I think they're that team now. So yeah, it's deserved, and I'm just real happy for her.
Yeah, she's going to meet with the media at 1 o'clock today. That's, I'm assuming, where Brad's going to be here at 1 o'clock. yeah, it's really incredible how gracious she accepts all these awards and how she always puts that off on somebody else and kind of moves on about her business. You mentioned something we've talked about a lot this week, and that's the Gamecocks kind of playing the villain role. You know, the fatigue. As you mentioned, LSU's not in this thing, so everybody can't hate on the Tigers, and now they gotta find somebody new. We all know it ain't gonna be Iowa, right. and NC State is kind of the unexpected program. I think 9 out of 10 people probably didn't have NC State getting there, but here they are. You mentioned UConn used to also be this team. You had Tennessee, you had UConn. God, here they are every year, and now it's the Gamecocks. It's their fourth consecutive, I think sixth overall.
Yep.
Under Dawn Staley. Are you feeling that? Does this team, when they step off the bus up there in Cleveland, do they know that that's kind of the way that the country is portraying them at this point?
You know, I don't know if it's so much directed at them the way it was at other teams in previous years when you had, you know, in years past when you had the UConn fatigue or the Tennessee fatigue before that. I think it's just because there are so many interesting stories with these other teams. Obviously, you have to start with Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And, you know, she's bringing people to women's basketball that used to not watch women's basketball because they just want to see what she's going to do next. And that's great if it grows the game. It's fantastic. So she's, you know, on that horse, you know, wearing the white hat, if you want to say, because of all that she's done to become the, you know, the all-time leading scorer and the ridiculous shots she makes and her ability to make her team elite. I mean, she makes that team elite. So you got that story. Then, you know, the other story of NC State, who's a really good team. You don't win 31 games by accident, obviously. But maybe they weren't as expected to make this run. They were a 3 seed in the tournament. So it's a nice story there. As well with Wes Moore, who's done things that has had success at a lot of different levels. Remember, he coached Francis Marion to the Division II Final Four about 15-20 years ago. So it's just a neat story with what he's been able to do at this highest level. And then you take Connecticut, who, you know, they lost 5 players to injury for the season this year. They're barely playing 6 players, and somehow they're here. You know, that's another great story. South Carolina, I think sometimes, if you want to say, gets overshadowed from the national media because they don't have that one player that scores 20 points a game. It's a whole bunch of people that score 8, 9, 10, 11 points per game. And that's the way it's been all year, which is perfectly fine. It works. But it's rare that you see a Gamecock that's going to score 20 points in a game. So there's not that, that wow factor in terms of stats that jump out at you for one individual that you can, you know, really put the camera on. It's just a bunch of kids that play well together and, you know, score between eight and 12 points.
I NC State, by the way, kind of a little similar to UConn in the fact that they've got really 6 young ladies who kind of carry the bulk of the minutes, and I always find that interesting. I mean, UConn is healthy; they're very capable of winning this whole ordeal. I think that people have forgotten what Paige Beckers is capable of.
She's really good.
She's really good. And she's been so overshadowed. I mean, everything's been overshadowed by the Caitlin Clark story. But with South Carolina, there is not a team left of these 4. There wasn't a team prior, and there's not one now that is as deep as they are. But if there's one player who just has to play well out of that depth, who is it?
You know, for South Carolina, I think there's a couple that need to. I think Ashlyn Watkins is always the X factor, whether she's starting or coming off the bench. She's just so athletic and creates so many matchup problems. When she's not playing well, whether it's as a starter or coming off the bench, you kind of feel it more. With a lot of the other players, if they have an off game, someone else picks it up. You know, when there's days when Mileja Fulwiley doesn't play great, the freshman, Tessa Johnson, has a big game. Tessa had 15 points and led the Gamecocks off the bench in scoring in their win over Oregon State in the Elite Eight. So there's always somebody to pick someone else up, it feels like. If Camilla's not having a great game, usually, you know, the Gamecocks will get some combined points from Chloe Kitts and Sanaya Fagan or whatever inside. And Camilla's always going to be big because they're always going to work inside out. But to me, Ashlyn Watkins is always the X factor because she's such a nightmare. And if she's on, it makes everyone else better because you have to pay attention to her. You can't pay as much attention to Camilla. She can shoot the mid-range, you know, and all that and get out in transition. So when she's on her game and she doesn't get into foul trouble early, which sometimes she does, I just think she's the one that can really help set the tone.
Brad, they just went through a four seed, the Oregon State Beavers, who had taken down the second seeded Notre Dame Irish or Fighting Irish. Seemed at one point in time or a couple of points in that ball game that, okay, Carolina could get on a little bit of a heater here and this thing's over.
Yeah.
But Oregon State just kept punching back, and luckily the Gamecocks were able to kind of hang on and take care of business towards the end of the game. How did that prepare them for the Final Four, that matchup?
Well, I think it prepares you for when you're not shooting it like you normally do. South Carolina shot the ball pretty well against Indiana, and they shot the ball pretty well against North Carolina the previous two games. Did not shoot the ball great against Oregon State. I think they were 33% and overall and 4 out of 20 from three-point range. And this is a team that led the SEC in field goal percentage and three-point shooting all year, shooting way above that. And, they were off. I think part of that was Oregon State. That's what they do. They're pretty good defensively. But I think that helped them to, when they realized, all right, when the shots aren't falling, you still got to find a way. You still got to play defense. And the Gamecocks started to crack down a little bit better on their perimeter defense. They had all kinds of problems with the perimeter defense, protecting the three-point line against Indiana on the drives and kickouts. And you're going to have to do – they had to do a little bit of the same against Oregon State. They had one girl get hot, and then Gamecocks were able to clamp down, and they didn't shoot for a great percentage later in the game. And South Carolina was able to pull away. So those are the two things. You're prepared for a game where your shots aren't falling and you have to pick it up on the other end. And that's what they had to do against Oregon State, was they really had to pick up the defense late in the game because not as many shots were falling. They were able to do that, and you stretch it out to a double-digit lead.
Brad, I got a quick question for you. Yep. So when you look at the Gamecocks, the women's Gamecocks team this year, I mean, Indiana, Oregon State, Tennessee, LSU. Those are really the only teams that have given them trouble. What do those teams have anything in common that the Gamecocks will see in this Final Four that they need to worry about?
Yeah, they were all a little bit different. LSU, was really good because their starting five was an all-star team, they were unique. Indiana was unique because they were the best shooting team in the country. Tennessee, I think, that was a team we played three times. And, the cliche of, trying to beat a good team three times is tough. If you're a crappy team, yeah, you're going to beat a team three times. But, they were a good enough team. I think maybe the common thread through a lot of these is not only did they have size in the paint, but their guards were big. When you've got guards, a couple of guards that are 6'1", 6'2", that makes it trickier to get rebounds. It allows them to get offensive rebounds and things like that, because South Carolina isn't, depending on what lineup they use, isn't always as big. Mileja Fulwiley is only 5'10". Raven Johnson's only 5'8". And so when you got teams like North Carolina State's got some guards that are decent size that are, over 6 feet tall. Madison Hayes and Sanaya Rivers are both about 6'1". It creates some problems just dealing with that. So I think that may be one of the common threads through some of the teams that challenge them, not only because they're good teams, they're top 50, a lot of them are top 15 teams, is the size that they have in their guards that complements their inside game.
Brad Muller is the voice of the Gamecocks. They will tip tomorrow night at 7:15?
I'm hoping it's not too much longer because, I fly by myself. I do a 30-minute pregame, and when they stretch those things out, they're like, to start the dang game. No, it's probably like a 7:06 or something like that. Okay. So, I'll have to talk slower.
Yeah. By the way, if you haven't heard the news, Aaliyah Boston is part of the national coverage on ESPN as well. Really, really neat hat tip to Aaliyah. So how – going back, this is the sixth Final Four for Dawn and this program, and it is the fifth of six in which they're joined by UConn in the Final Four. Only once, I think, maybe the previous last year, the UConn
was
there.
First time in like two decades that they weren't in the Final Four. Yeah.
Yep. That's it. So, now last year you did have, in addition to the Gamecocks and Virginia Tech, you did have, of course, Iowa and LSU, as we all well know. And so you had the star power there, but all the records hadn't fallen yet, and now they have. And we just saw this 12 million plus audience that averaged watching that Iowa LSU game. Caitlin Clark's the story. She's driving this. Gino's been doing this for a long time. He's a story. South Carolina is a story. I would put probably no disrespect intended at all. Mm-hmm. but probably NC State would be the fourth storyline of this entire thing here. So in kind of, I'm saying all that, you know it. A lot of the audience maybe hadn't grasped that mentally, but that's why I'm trying to explain what's going on here. When you look back at the last six, has there been anything different coming into this one? Just the surroundings and the media and the energy and all that type of stuff with the storylines that support it.
I think this year you have, there's a lot of storylines that are centered obviously around Caitlin Clark because of her. I think there's more focus just on that, on the individual. Whereas in years past, it was more about the team. Like when South Carolina won it in 2022, it was kind of on the redemption because they had lost in the Final Four the year before on a missed putback at the buzzer to Stanford, and Stanford goes on to win the national championship. So it was more about the team. And then I think this year it's more about the individual. I think that's the biggest difference in the feel of, you know, the buzz around the tournament. But, you know, we went to our first Final Four in 2015. And I think just the number of people that are covering it, the interest, not just in South Carolina. I think the interest from the national media is a lot bigger than it ever was. I think you see a lot more people covering it. The fact that you're filling up these NBA arenas and they're sold out. You know, these NBA arenas are sold out for the national championship game, you know, back in December or whatever. You know, so I think just the fact that you can go places like Cleveland and Minneapolis and you're going to fill up an NBA arena for women's basketball. I think it's just fantastic. That's the biggest difference I've seen is just more interest in general. People want to be there, just like people wanted to watch that game the other night, which was fantastic. The LSU Iowa game, it didn't disappoint. Both teams, especially if you watch that first quarter from the opening tip, both teams were just killing it, you know, knocking down shots left and right. And it was, you know, lead change every time down the floor. It's what you want to see to help grow the game and get more eyeballs on it. So I think that helps everybody when you have a game like that lives up to its billing. But overall, yeah, you're just seeing more butts in the seats and more eyes on TV.
Is one of those butts Lamont Paris? Is he going to join?
I hope so. I know we've seen him before. I think he came up when we were at the SEC tournament. I forget it because at one point he and Coach Danner sat down next to me on press row. And so, you know, hopefully we'll see him. It's a little different at the Final Four. Like with radio, they don't put us on press row. We're a little bit elevated. So we're kind of, tuck us weird radio people away here at the Final Four. But it's much better this year. This year we've got a direct sight line. Like we're, you know, middle level up, but you in the middle of the floor. Whereas last year in Minneapolis, they had us on the upper deck in the corner. And I mean, it was ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Who made that decision?
NCAA. It's better this year. That's the other thing, kind of what you're talking about. There'll be some celebs here. You'll see a lot of former Gamecocks. You'll see just a lot of former great college basketball players from maybe that don't even have a dog in the fight here that are going to be here because it's becoming that kind of event where. Like I know years and years ago when I worked at a smaller school, the head coach that I used to work with at the Division II school used to come to the Women's Final Four every year, and he wouldn't even have tickets. He would just go there and buy them, you know, off the street because they were easy to get. Now you can't do that unless you're paying a lot of money. It's just grown so much. It's become an event that people go to see, and it's almost to be seen as well. Not quite a Lakers game yet, you know, but it's that kind of thing where there's going to be celebrities here, and I think because of all the attention you're seeing, let's say from current and former NBA players that are giving shout outs to the women's college game throughout the year, when they see players like Malaysia Fulwiley and Juju Watkins do special things, and you're seeing, you know, Magic Johnson shout them out, it's cool. And so that creates that buzz that you're going to see people at these games maybe that you didn't see 5-10 years ago.
Man, that is really well said, and it's worthy of saying because you're right. We just saw Jason Sudeikis give a hug to Caitlin Clark the other day. Jason Sudeikis. I mean, you know, that guy's hilarious.
I mean, a great coach in his own right. Right.
Yeah. Guy knows what he's doing. I mean, he was Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend in that movie where they went to Mexico, you know, and
so good on him. Yeah.
He kept trying to screw that up. I wanted to come through the screen and kill him, but, I think you're right. I think Cleveland will be a good platform for this too. From the celebrity standpoint, how much do you think This is just a personal question. How much do you think women's basketball has raised its platform because of Dawn Staley?
I would say significantly, not just her, but you know, individually, she's done some things with her success and how she's done it. I think has given it a lot. I think the fact that she's not afraid to speak out on topics, even if you don't agree with them, it's fine. Because in years past, I don't think you've seen women's basketball coaches use their platform to speak out on things outside of the basketball world, and she has, and that does bring attention to the sport, to the game, and things like that. It gets people interested in what is she saying, what is she talking about, who is this, if they didn't know who she was. If you're going to say in the last whatever she's been here, set what 16 years, let's go back the last 10 years or so. If you were going to create a list of top 10 influencers that have helped increase the game, the brand of women's college basketball, forget about what she did as a player, because she was she was one of the players, the two-time player of the year. But what she's done in the last 10 years, I think she's in the top 10 to help elevate the sport of women's college basketball in the last 10 years. She's definitely top 10, top five, probably, in terms of that have helped grow this game. Because, look what she did. She took a South Carolina program that really had very little success, and now they're a brand. And it didn't take all that long. It wasn't easy, but she showed it could be done at South Carolina, and, now it's a destination place.
Yeah, the train's on the tracks. The best player in the country, Joyce Edwards, is coming. They're all coming.
Yep.
I envision if you walked all four of these, just to reiterate your point, if you walked all four of these programs out on the court at the same time this evening or tomorrow, whenever, and the arena was packed, and the fans would pick the first person they would pick out, they go, "Oh, that's Caitlin Clark."
Right.
And then after that, the first person well, that's Dawn Staley.
Yep.
And then probably the third one would be Gino Auriemma.
Yep.
And Paige Beckers, and I would think in that order, at least very similar to it. But I will say this too, good for the sport that there's a player who will be recognized before a coach, because it needed it. There's been so many great players over the years. We've had a lot of them here. Asia Wilson was the center of this.
Yep.
But Caitlin Clark, in the way that she carries herself and breaking all these records, she's so classy. She's a great story. She really is. She's perfect for basketball.
She's doing things that haven't been done in the women's game before, and that's what makes it special. You see the logo threes that she takes, which, is amazing, because, Steph Curry kind of started that for the men's game, and she's brought it to the women's game. But, what she's also done is she shows how she makes her entire team better, because it's not just the logo threes. It's on her drives to the basket. Everyone collapses on her, and she finds somebody's open, right? Because when you're collapsing on her, and she's very unselfish and is able to, find someone that's going to get a layup or a high percentage shot. And she just elevates the team so much, because you have to pay so much attention to her. Not just the logo threes, it's the drives to the basket that you have to worry about more. I think in the last game against LSU, she had the double-double. Obviously, she had 41 points. But didn't she have like 12 or 15 assists?
She had a bunch.
Yeah, so that's what she does, and that's what makes her even more dangerous and more of an icon to me, is not just the fact that she can hit consistently from 28 feet, but that the fact that she can has the ability to thread the needle and find the open teammate when she drives to the basket, when it doesn't look like she's going to be able to get a pass off. So I think she's showing younger players how to play the game. Work on your shooting. But when you get other people involved, when you pass it to someone who's wide open, good things happen.
Brad, final one for you. If they can do it, if Carolina can get the next couple of wins, they will finish the season 38-0. It would be the first undefeated season in the history of the program. It would be the 10th undefeated national champion to finish undefeated. Of course, UConn carries the bulk of that. I think UConn, Tennessee, and Baylor are the only teams I think have ever done that, maybe, if memory is correct here. There's some folks, and I'm not one of them, because I hate losing, but there's some folks who think that probably would have been good for them to drop a game somewhere along the line. Do you buy that?
No, not at all, because there's no correlation to, all right, if you would have lost that game against, I don't know, Utah back in December, that you still would have run the table and that you would still, you know, you might still be in the exact same spot. There's no, that doesn't tell me that I'm, that, oh, good, they lost back in December, so therefore they're going to beat NC State, and, you know, and then they're going to beat, no, no. Right. I mean, I get the superstitious part of it, right. You know, but no, because you go out and you want to win every game. You want to win the next game, whatever the next game is, you want to win the next one. So, you know, if for some reason things don't go well and, you know, they fall in the Final Four, it'd be unfortunate. You know, you'd have a team that went in two seasons, went 72-2, and it's unfortunate if the only thing people want to talk about are the two. Yeah, because you get to the Final Four. There's no bad teams that get here in women's basketball. There's no real Cinderellas in women's basketball that get to the Final Four. It means you may have had a little bit of an off day, but you probably lost to a top 10 team, and it just wasn't your night. But you know, hopefully it doesn't get that point. But, yeah, if they can I don't buy into the, you know, maybe they should have. What are they going to do, throw a game? You know, I mean, what are they going to do? What are they going to tell Camilla not to?
Let's not use those words, Brad. Yeah, well, I mean, Vegas is watching.
You know, I mean, what are you going to, you going to tell Camilla to not take that shot against Tennessee, you know, just so we can right. win the championship? But no, they, you know, you guys know we're competitive. You want to win every game. And you know, that's what they try to do. And they knock wood. They don't really look ahead. It's they want to win this game, you know, and that's where they've been all season.
I don't know. I think maybe next year they should trot out there, get beat, and then afterwards Don should sit at the podium and say, guys, we just want to get that loss out of the way. We want to let everybody know we lost intentionally.
Well, I'll say this. Don had mentioned when this came up back in February about, you know, losing a game or something like that. And she said, oh, we're not undefeated because, you know, they're highlighters, which is the men's practice squad that they practice against. She says, we lose to them all the time in practice. So she doesn't think of them as being undefeated. She says, because those guys beat us, you know, throughout the year. So maybe that's where they take their L's in practice when they lose to the guys sometimes when they're, you know, running a mini scrimmage or something like that.
That is – I love the highlighters thing. She's been doing it forever, as we know. Yeah. But it was a brilliant move by Dawn Staley, and it works.
They're good, man. I'm telling you, those guys could play.
<They're good. laughs> Careful saying that because there's a lot of fans going, why aren't they on the men's team? Like,
well, you know? they might not be able to play at the D1 level because they're not 6'7". You know, they're not all 6'7", but, you know, they might be because, you know, their guys are going to be bigger anyway. They're 6'1", 6'2", you know, something like that. So, you know, they might be a better, you know, D2, you know, something like that. Or something. They're good. They're talented, man. They give it to us.
Well, it's working. It's working. And and they get rings too if you win a national championship.
Yes, they do. So, yeah.
just like Brad. Brad's running out of he's running out of fingers and toes. So
good problems. Yeah.
That's a great problem to have. All right, we started with food, we'll end with food. What have you dove into anything yet in Cleveland? Is there something that's on the menu? Well,
there was an Irish place not far from our hotel went into last night, and I'm a big fan of Irish fare, so had something there. Had some shepherd's pie, and it was good. So, and everything that you would normally have at such an establishment, so it was good. Yeah, that's what I dove into so far. Mostly just been walking around. Everything is in walking distance from our hotel, the arena, the baseball stadium, the Brown Stadium, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've just been doing a lot of eyeball sightseeing and taking pictures.
Nice,
man. Enjoy, and I sure hope you're there until Tuesday morning.
Yeah, me too.
Or no, would it be Tuesday? Monday morning.
Monday morning. Yeah, if we win, we'd play Sunday. So, yeah. Hopefully we're Monday coming home Monday.
Hopefully you're coming home Monday to watch the national championship on the men's side. So we'll tell you what we always tell Derek. Don't lose. Go get us some wins. And, in this instance, bring home a national championship. The next time you're in Columbia, make sure you've got a trophy.
I will do my part, which means I'll sit on my rear end. Yeah.
at least it's not in the corner, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, good people. Yeah. if you're a good play-by-play guy, you'll run out there before they tip off and measure the three-point lines and make sure that everything's correct before they let them sucker in the air.
Yeah, I get the feeling they're going to have that, make sure that is correct before they tip off tomorrow. I just got a feeling. Yeah.
Double check the referees too. Cross-reference them for us. Yeah. Make sure they don't have any NC State bias.
Well, I always think they're wrong, but you know.
Right. Whoever had the honor of drawing the lines this week,
You had one job.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
that's what I look at the NCAA. I was like, man, y'all really, you do one thing well until this year.
Like, how does that happen? Yeah,
the only person, the only other person who's on the hot seat is whoever arranged the UConn men's team's flight, flight arrangements.
So, oh, yeah.
The 3-point line got me. I'm sitting here thinking, wait a second. You literally throw people in jail for bringing anything other than a blue cup onto press row.
True story.
But
true
you
story.
Can't get the three-point line. Yeah.
Like, priorities.
I walked out on the floor with a water bottle when I had the flu in Greenville a few years ago, and they said, back.
Oh, yeah. That is hardcore. And and the further you go along in the tournament, they get stricter. So, yeah,
some dumb stuff, man. But anyway. I know. All right, brother, we've kept you long enough. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all you do. And you'll be on the air tomorrow at 6:30.
That's correct. So
looking forward to the broadcast.
And then anytime you want me to come back and talk food during the off season, I'm up.
Dude, we'll do that every week.
We've got an entire league's worth of stadium food to go through, Brad. Okay, yeah. We'll get through the
That's right. It's a long summer, Brad.
That's right. It's a long summer.
Gotcha. We got to get through a lot of discolored cheeseburgers, that's for sure. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, man. There you go. Brad Muller, the voice of the Gamecocks. All right. We got to step aside. We still got plenty of football to get to, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be fun. It's been fun. Brad and Chad. How about that? Chad and Brad, two fantastic guests. Matt is here with Mad Dog and myself. Gamecock Traditions is where you want to get dressed, and it's even more important than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you about that and more when we return.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up the screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns the corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
We got started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. I mean, we give 30 days to do anything. I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. From CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Garnet Trust is taking over, and good news for everyone. If you need to shop, you need to go to Gamecock Traditions, and here's why. Gamecock Traditions, who has partnered with us, ITG and the Chief Sports Network, has also now partnered with the Garnet Trust on the NIL front, and a portion of every single Gamecock purchase that you make from them, everyone will be donated to the Garnet Trust to support NIL efforts at the University of South Carolina. If you go in and spend $6, $60, $600, it's a very, very, very attainable goal that they have for NIL. And I will tell you this, it's not my business. I don't want to give all the goods away. But I will tell you this. This is a big deal. And the amount of money that's going to come out of this is a big deal. So if you are going to shop and you need Carolina stuff, it doesn't matter if it's a tent, if it's one of the new Yetis, the 30-ounce Yeti Ramblers, you can put 30 ounces of Dixie vodka or chicken cock bourbon in. Or if it's a collared shirt, or if it's kids' stuff, or if it you beautiful ladies, if you need a Gamecock dress, whatever it is. You know, they've got all
colors.
They've got everything. Yes. They got everything. That's where you go. You go to Gamecock Traditions in Lexington, Gamecock Traditions Village at Sandhill, or GamecockTraditions.com. And we, of course, will remind you of this all the time. We're always honored to be partnered with them. They have the best selection of stuff. Can't thank Scott and Kevin and all those guys for what they do. So what a big deal. Big deal. And I'm very proud of that. So, Matt, get your rear end over there and fill up your closet.
Look, every time I go to Lexington, I stop in Garden of Black Traditions. My mom lives there. Stop there every single time. We've got dog leashes, dog collars. I've got baby clothes. I've got jerseys. My kid has a number one jersey, Gamecocks, has his name on the back of it, Garden of Black Traditions. Ooh. This is a big, big deal.
Number one, like Alshon, number one, Coach Tanner, number one.
You know what? Since Alshon's not retired yet, it's just going to be his retired jersey. He's just going to wear it until he goes to South Carolina, plays football, quarterback, all that stuff. It's his number one, JB. It's his.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's his. I think this Alshon is this generation's, our generation, Sterling.
Yep.
Sterling Sharp or Robert Brooks, this group that's growing up now, like that's who he is. That's who those guys were to us. That's who he is to them. And I think it's neat. And you see that less and less because guys transfer so much. I didn't get to it earlier, but I saw a bunch of the chatter about Juice Wells' interview with, I think it was the Locked On Network,
Rebel, Ole Miss, whatever.
He was tired of losing or something. So what cares? I don't care. Does anybody really care? He didn't play here. What's that matter? Does it hurt your feelings? I mean, who cares?
How many games did he lose this year?
I mean, he's gone. Like, this is childish. Even, I mean, who cares? I mean, this is what these guys are going to do, man. Like, you know, he acted like a jerk last year. I know that he did. He caught hell from the fans. He hadn't let that go. He's transferred for the second time in his career. He's gone. So I wouldn't waste my energy worrying about it. I mean, I hate to just dismiss somebody's feelings, but who cares? I mean, I who cares what he says? You know,
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, all the stuff that's going around about Meechie Johnson. It's like, all right, yeah, appreciate what you did, but no, you're not dead to me, but I really don't care anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter, man. I don't know. I don't get these are kids. They're gonna say stuff. I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, if there was if Juice Wells transferred here and he was like, I got tired of losing at Ole Miss, fans would be like, oh yeah, man, right, rock on, screw you, Ole Miss, woo, yeah, we love you, yeah, you're the man, Juice. Who cares? I just don't care about it.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of football, there's a major proposal, I guess, if you want to call that we're going to get into at the top of the 1 o'clock hour that is nowhere near getting done. But it's just the point is there are major names in college athletics who have decided, well, maybe we can get together on this and let's kind of toss this out there and see if we can get Greg Sankey and the SEC and the Big Ten and those boys to come to the table and have a conversation and at least start spinning the wheels about what could we do to fix a lot of these problems, to, you know, have a true playoff model and not have to deal with the NIL stuff the way that we deal with it and be able to, you know, essentially pay players and have collective bargaining agreements and all these things that I think a lot of folks have been scared of for quite some time. And I get it because I am too, because we're you start letting college kids collectively bargain, you're going to have a problem if you don't have some good leadership. So, so we'll get into that as well. And Matt, we'll certainly talk some college basketball. Anxious to get your thoughts on the Final Four. The two most popular names in college basketball as we enter the weekend are who, Matt?
Caitlin Clark.
And
DJ Burns.
DJ Burns. Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin Clark supersedes all of it because of what she's been able to achieve, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I had a post on the Big Spur the other day, and, you know, we give ESPN a lot of crap for a lot of reasons, but what they did right was promote the women's game because they don't have the rights to the men's NCAA basketball tournament. And guess what? 12.5 million eyeballs on an Elite Eight game. That's only going to get bigger. Say what you want about ESPN. They did this right.
Yeah, they did. No, they did a great job. And, you know, Mike was kind of giving the rundown of that yesterday and how they, like, if ESPN is behind something and they need to move the needle, they know how to do it. I mean, they've got the network for that. They've got the coverage. They've got the people. They've got all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can all get – we'll all have our personal preferences of, like, who do you want to listen to or more so than somebody else that's covering the game or whatever it is. Don't like her opinion, don't care for his opinion, whatever that may be. That's fine. But at the end of the day, as you pointed out rightfully, like the coverage that they're providing has just really been phenomenal. So congratulations. And hopefully South Carolina is the last scene of women's basketball this year. We'll certainly find out. Final timeout of hour two inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Dough Co. and live from the Signorama Studios. We'll be right back.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Dough Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama. Rama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.